Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Matthew Thompson from Resco Asset Management. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us today. So that's the markets picture in a nutshell. Globally, we've got all eyes on the Fed today, but more so, once again, as I said, focused on the rhetoric more than anything else. So where are your expectations sitting?
Well, that as well as the fact that we might have a new Fed chair tomorrow being announced by Trump. So that's going to be very interesting. I think more of the same, just looking at data. As you said, the December rate hike is about 90% mm-hmm. priced into the market at the moment. So anything different to that effect will be... will have an effect on the markets, but I think the market also very looking forward to seeing who the next Fed chair is. It's either Powell or Taylor. One's a lot more hawkish, the other one's more dovish, and that could, you know, the Fed chair is quite an important person in financial markets.
Absolutely, so. And that, as you say, potentially, shadowing what could come out of Fed Chair Janet Yellen this evening, but also the BOE's decision on rates tomorrow. Amidst it all, the JSC powering ahead today, tracking the positive momentum on most world markets. Are you following along with that level of exuberance right now?
Yeah, I think a lot of today was the resources front. So commodities globally, a lot of the commodities really showing some strong performance. Copper, iron ore bouncing back. We saw palladium, platinum, oil, of course, as well. On the back of OPEC and their announcements that they're going to not cut as many barrels for a little bit longer, helping Brent crude stay up above $60 a barrel.
Let's hone in on that specifically, because we know how oil can easily run ahead of what is fundamentally justified at this stage. What's your reading of that scenario?
It's quite difficult because you've got the US shale producers and you've got OPEC and a lot of moving parts in between. From the demand side, you have China, which you don't really know what happens in China. I think what we're seeing at the moment is probably upward momentum in the oil price from OPEC. You've got the Saudi Arabia who are looking to list Saudi Aramco, and that gives them the incentive to keep the oil prices higher for longer. So at this stage, I think it's reasonably balanced to the upside in my view.
Within that commodities complex, let's take a look at Sibanye-Stillwater, because it's come under pressure and we can see how much so. The fact that nearly 7,000 jobs have been cut at its Cooke operation, another 1,640 jobs potentially on the line at Beatrix as well. What have you made of the kind of steps it's taken in order to kind of offset, I guess, the pressure it's under right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite difficult for the gold miners. South African gold mines are very old and very deep, so quite difficult to make a profit. And it's a very difficult decision for a CEO, because obviously the CEO would love to keep the jobs. They'd love to make the profits to keep the jobs, even if they just made a small amount of profit. But we've seen Neil Froneman. He's been quite harsh on loss-making operations. And I think if you look at the platinum sector, you might need to be more harsh so that the platinum price can go higher, so that more jobs can be supported for longer. So,
and in fact, leverage then off that U.S. acquisition it's just made, where unions have really been hard on the company for pursuing that avenue for growth, as opposed to investing in its South African operations more so.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, as a CEO, you need to also look after your shareholders. And his view was that taking a view offshore on mainly a palladium asset in the U.S., which is a very strong developed jurisdiction, which is quite a business-friendly environment to run a mine, just to balance out that South African risk that they do have.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that we've had retail and financial stocks rising as the prospect of a sovereign credit rating downgrade hangs in the air. Are you surprised, or were they just pretty hard hit and, this jumping in at this stage warranted?
Yeah, I think they were quite hard hit after the budget last week. From our perspective, they're still too highly valued, the South African Inc. stocks. I think going into December, you've got a binary risk outcome. And in my opinion, they're not pricing that risk incorrectly. So I think definitely today, following on from global sentiment, you know, the markets seem to have that strong momentum upward, which generally pulls along everything.
Yeah, the likes of a Nedbank, which was up 0.8%, yes. The likes of an Old Mutual PLC up just over 1% as well. What have you made of that announcement that Old Mutual has whittled its stake now to just under 20%? I mean, it was expected because it's part of this managed separation process it announced back in March, but the fact that it's sitting with a minority stake of 19.9%, your view?
I think largely as expected. I think it's for both parties it makes sense. As you said, for Nedbank, they'll have more liquidity from a larger shareholder base. And from an Old Mutual perspective, the management team is trying to unlock some value from this managed separation.
Mm-hmm.
So, largely in line with expectations. And I think just giving some clarity on the timing around when they're going to unbundle so that shareholders of Nedbank can almost get an idea of when this extra liquidity will come.
I want to take a quick look at Ascendus because it's announced a rights offer, 750 million rand, that's to pay off borrowing. But what the interesting thing is that it's offering, it's come at a premium, or it's offering it at a premium to the current share price. This has totally been underwritten by its current biggest shareholder, which is Coast to Coast. Does that, I mean, that pretty much says take it or leave it if you want, or will you be buying in?
No, we won't. It's quite interesting to see a rights offer offered at a premium. Generally, you see this for some more illiquid counters where investors really want to get their hands on some shares where they're trending upwards, and you'll happily take the shares at a premium. But generally, rights offer at a discount, you know, to incentivize the shareholders to take up those rights. But as you said, Coast to Coast, obviously happy to put in more capital into Ascendus.
Well, Carsten Wellner seemingly thinking that this company is very undervalued at this stage. Where are you seeing more value right now, Matthew? What's your stock pick at the moment?
My stock pick for tonight is Transaction Capital. I think it's a really well-run business in very niche areas in South Africa. But what really excites me about their business at the moment is that they're doing bad debt book buying. And what this allows them to do is in a tough economy like this, they can pick up some debt from some of the banks, from some of the telcos companies, and start collecting it. But they can get it for a really good price because everyone is struggling and under pressure. So, you know, you don't find many companies with tailwinds in this environment. I think Transaction Capital is one to look at.
Let's leave it there. Matthew, thanks so much for having joined us in studio today. Of course, Matthew Thompson is with Resco Asset Management. Well, consensus seems to be that SAA could be successful if commercial considerations are allowed to govern the way it's managed without any political interference. November the 1st has brought with it new feet under the CEO's desk at SAA, and with the country's struggling and poorly managed national airline having frustrated a lot of South Africa's taxpayers already as government continues to spend big in order to prop it up. The pressure is certainly on new CEO Vuyani Jagana to turn things around. So he joins us in studio now so that we can glean a better perspective on where things are at and headed, I guess. Thanks so much, Vuyani, for joining us in studio this evening.
Thanks for having me.
We've had SA Flyers Guy Leach in an open letter to you on the announcement of your appointment say that you're either very brave or very foolish, and he's not alone in that sentiment. Has SAA not become irrelevant in the current market where it's no longer a monopoly and can't seem to compete against efficiencies within the private sector?
Look, I think SAA plays a very significant role in the market. If you look at in terms of the landscape in the regional and domestic play, SA still carries a lot of passengers, a lot of traffic. And even though the competitive landscape has changed, there's more LCC, low-cost carriers, as well as more some of the international players have started looking at traffic in the region, there is still a very good place for a commercially competent and capable SAA to carve a space under the sun. In fact, SA has a very strong market position today, even though that position is diminishing very fast. So if you're able to hold onto the market position today and transform SA to be commercially sustainable, then I think there's a good place for that, for it.
Key to that, though, is business execution. Do you have complete autonomy to do what it takes to turn things around here, or do you still operate within the confines of political pre-authorization?
Well, I've made the call to join. I mean, I showed up my hand to join SAA, and obviously the only way you can turn SAA around is when you really, really operate on commercial considerations and be able to execute on the plan accordingly. And I must be honest, I have not been told that there are any restrictions in the delivery. What the shareholders ask of us, of me, is to say, please make things work, turn around SAA. I've not been told the areas not to touch, not to go, but I think so far we've got the levers to actually play and deliver commercial.
I've got to ask, though, could you potentially be underestimating that? The kind of political force that could be against you?
I don't think I am underestimating, and also you have to also understand that where SA is at now is at the point of pain where lots of money must be pumped into SA to support, and there's not enough money from the shareholder, from government, to actually continue to bail out state enterprises. So that on its own, I think it's also signaling the need to actually really make sure that the state-owned enterprise stopped being a drain in the fiscus. And I think that gives us the leeway to operate.
Of course, the government's latest 4.8 billion rand bailout, in addition to the 5.2 billion SAA received earlier this year, buys you some breathing room as you look to turn things around into this commercially viable operation. How hard a sell is it for the banks that SAA is committed to stemming 5 years of losses and repaying its debt?
So I think if you look at there's a very clear plan in terms of the long-term turnaround strategy, but that is underpinned by resourcing, bring in leadership that is able to drive the execution. But also some of the things that we're focusing on is really start to look at vacancies that are in the exco level that we have to fill very quickly so that we can bring the capacity to actually execute on SAA. So we are engaging with the banks, we'll continue to engage with them, but there is a degree of confidence in the plan. What's important is for us to execute on the plan itself.
It's interesting you say that, because already Citigroup and Standard Chartered has refused to extend loan terms for SAA. Have you been able to negotiate plans for refinancing with other lenders? I mean, you've got 6.9 billion rand worth of loans that needed to be finalized by or refinanced by the end of October.
So what we're engaging with the current lenders now, the South African banks, is around loan extensions, and there's been very specific covenants that we've had to meet. And as I got into SA, part of it is me being there. Peter Davis, the chief restructuring officer, was appointed on the 16th of October, and obviously what's key now is to look at some of the elements of the turnaround plan, really bring efficiency, pushing ahead with some of the cost-saving activities. So that's the basis of the negotiation for loan extensions.
Okay, so we've set the context here. We're going to be getting into the detail of that turnaround plan with SAA CEO Vuyani Johana straight after the break. So don't go anywhere as we continue the conversation straight after this. Welcome back, and still with me in studio is SAA CEO Vuyani Johana as we continue our discussion on what it's going to take to turn the ailing SOE around. Vuyani, we've you've got a plan in place to stop the bleeding. It has to start with tackling corruption and gross management, surely, which is deemed the biggest leak in the artery at this stage. We had an EY forensic investigation revealing, amongst others, that 60% of total procurement has been subject to weak business controls, and half of the 25 billion rand a year that's spent on procurement is corrupt. I mean, that's staggering. Is that where you start?
Well, there are a number of areas at SA today that we're focusing on. So firstly is to really focus on liquidity management, making sure that we can bring cash into the business. So you look at those areas where we're leaking revenue, where we can optimize revenue, we can actually drive customer experience, but also take out costs. Alongside that are going to be some of the areas that have been pointed by different kind of reports that I'm going to be looking into. How then do we ensure that we are able to renegotiate contracts, make sure we can get value out of them, and also also relooking the fleet rationalization, making sure that you're actually having the right aircraft for the right type of route and passengers mm-hmm. that you want to carry, and again rationalizing the routes, looking at routes that are not profitable, focusing on the ones that are profitable without losing share of the market. So those are some of the things that are in the plan to really stabilize the business.
So it's a very holistic approach, looking at re-engineering the commercial and growth strategy of SAA with the management team in place and the new board. Do you have complete buy-in here? Because you need a management board and a board that's committed to transformation and doing things differently.
So I'm quite comfortable and convinced that from a shareholder, and you would know that there's been changes at the board level. There's a new mm-hmm. board members that are coming in. We are going to be engaging with them. We're going to induct them.
As of November the 3rd.
As of November the 3rd. So we're going to start with the induction program with them. Including myself, by the way. But I think the bigger part of the buy-in that is necessary is the people inside SAA, the executive, the managers, the staff of SAA, being able to work to deliver an operating model that is inclusive, that ensures that all the insights, because it's the people of SAA who know where the leakages are and what we need to do differently.
How do you manage that? Because while you've got to, you know, keep morale up on the one side, you've also tackling inefficiencies, you're tackling costs, and part of that, one would assume, brings with it is job cuts potentially. Are we looking at job losses down the line?
So look, I think one has to take, I mean, it's my first day, one has to take a holistic view of in terms of restructuring SAA. I think that the work that we're going to be doing at SAA should be quite exciting for the people of SAA, because it creates a possibility to rebuild the brand, to create new opportunities for a stronger brand, stronger SAA in the African market. But we have to go through the difficult processes. We have to make sure that we put shoulder to the wheel to tackle some of the areas where we're inefficient. So whether it's fleet optimization, whether it's looking at processes, obviously we have to look at all the key indicators so that we're comparable. But in the next couple of weeks, I'll be engaging deeply with SAA so that we can come up with a very clear operate execution mechanism that has buy-in of all stakeholders, including labor, by the way.
A part of doing things differently is beginning a process to work with a private sector partners, finding a strategic equity partner for SAA. Do you see that proving to be a case of easier said than done?
Look, I think if one listens to the minister at the medium-term budget policy statement, very clear around one of the levers is about the strategic equity partner. But of course, you want to bring a strategic equity partner at a reasonably stronger position than where you are weakest. Otherwise, you might struggle to attract the good partners, but at the same time, you might lose value. So there's still a bit of a roadmap we need to go through. We have to get ourselves out of the current position first so that we can actually start looking at all the options for growth. Because the SEP, I see it as part of a growth trajectory more than saving the day. We have to deal with today's work by dealing with all the kind of hard issues we must tackle.
Absolutely, because for any private sector player, the imperative is to grow revenue, not just shrink the airlines into profit. So how long before you expect to see the plan that you've got on the table to take effect and reap reward?
Look, it's my day one, so the next couple of days I'm going to be diagnosing what's happening inside the organization, meeting the people, understanding what some of the issues are, over and above the reports that are written there. So we need to actually get the emotions of the organization, because it's the culture of the organization that's going to have to shift to enable us to execute. I think South Africans would know that there has been many strategies for SAA. What's been rather difficult was to execute on them. So my commitment is to execute on those strategies. So the next 90, 100 days are going to be the days where I'm actually starting to develop an operating model. I can't come with it. It must evolve.
So let's give you 100 days and then we'll rope you back into studio. Let's leave it there. Vuyani, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening.
So
of course, that was SAA's new CEO, Vuyani Jahana. And that's all the news and analysis I have for you at this hour. But do join Stephen straight after the break for ETF Investor. And I'll see you back at 7 o'clock.